friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, and Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. And we take a biblical worldview perspective of the events of the day, as well as American history. We're developing a Christian worldview curriculum for 1st through 12th graders, and adding a 7th grade curriculum for the next year. So far we've got 8th through 12th grade, and also working on developing the In God's Providence American history for our students, such that they would understand that it's the hand of God who works in history. It's the hand of God who provides the blessings. It's the hand of God who brings judgment to this nation. And if we don't see it that way, then we will inevitably conclude that the things that happen because of brute chance or by the will of man, and that is effectively humanism. So students typically walk away from the history course believing that it was man that accomplished what was accomplished, or brute force, or brute chance.
Or history is just a series of random chance events without purpose or meaning.
That's right. So it's one or the other. And what we say is, no. The ultimate cause of all things that ever happened, for of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. The ultimate cause for everything that happens on this globe throughout all of history, including the next 24 hours and what you hear on the Worldview in 5 Minutes program, was God doing his work. God is in sovereign control of history, and he's doing amazing things.
And what's amazing is there's a former Jesuit seminarian who has invoked God.
Yes, and what a shock to our systems that a liberal Democrat ex-Jesuit leading the state of California, that is California Governor Jerry Brown, has criticized Donald Trump in an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes. This was just last weekend.
Yeah, Governor Moonbeam himself invoked God and condemned Trump.
He did. He said, I don't think President Trump has a fear of the Lord, the fear of the wrath of God, which leads one to more humility.
Now, the context, of course, was that he was being interviewed about the fires in California, the devastating fires, and he said this is a result of climate change, and therefore the discussion went to Donald Trump, President Trump, removing the United States from the Paris Climate Accord. And so he was criticizing Trump, and the reporter asked the question, are you fearful? And here's exactly what he said. Oh, yeah, you should. Anyone who isn't is not looking at the facts. I don't think President Trump has a fear of the Lord, the fear of the wrath of God, which leads one to more humility. And this is such a reckless disregard for the truth and for the existential consequences that can be unleashed.
Yeah, well, he doesn't define sin by God's laws, and same mistake is made by almost every evangelical. Evidently, the Catholics must also be defining sin any which way they want to. The original sin was when man determined good and evil for themselves. Satan in the garden says, "You shall be as gods, determining good and evil for yourself." And this is the original sin that's being committed by the modern humanist, as well as many evangelicals, as well as many Catholics. Their basic sin is that they refuse to define sin by God's laws, and they define sin by their own laws. Jerry Brown evidently is taking on something of a prophetic role here, but he's blaming the fires on global warming, not on man's sin against God's laws. So, wow, you know, he's not thinking biblically, and this is, of course, what Christians have done for the last 150 to 200 years. They just don't use God's law. They just don't believe in God's law. They will not take Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and determine good and evil, right and wrong, by the definitions of God's laws. And because of that, they are a law to themselves. They have committed the original sin, and they can continue to commit the original sin, and they won't repent of it. And that, my friends, is the fundamental problem with this nation. Until they repent of that sin, they're headed for hellfire themselves. So there has to be a repentance at this level, at the most fundamental level, defining sin by God's laws first and foremost, and then realizing that that autonomy is a violation of God's law, and that is why Jesus came to die, in order to set us free from our sin and our tendency to define law on our own terms. Well, earlier this year, Jerry Brown also signed a bill that would levy a $1,000 fine and a year in jail for anybody who knowingly uses the wrong pronoun to address a man who wants to play the part of a woman by dressing up in high heels. And 6 years ago, that same governor, Jerry Brown, signed another bill requiring homosexual training programs for students in California primary schools. I believe that was the first in the nation. So this state has been at the forefront. You say, well, why would God be picking on California? Well, what has California been doing for the last 6 years? Jerry, what have you been up to for the last 6 years? He said, well, we've been trying to address global warming. And we've been encouraging transgenderism in the public schools, and we are levying a $1,000 fine against any Christian who doesn't play the transgender game.
And we impose laws to be nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what California has been doing for the last 5 to 6 years, and now they're facing the worst fires in all of California history. There are now 6 wildfires raging in California. You know, they've already burned down 1.3 million acres in the state over the last year. 10,000 buildings came down in Northern California in the Northern California fires of August and September. And now at least 1,000 structures have been burned down in Ventura County, moving north now towards Santa Barbara. And, of course, we're not talking about structures that are worth $300,000. You move more into Santa Barbara County, you're talking about structures that are worth, on average, $2 million apiece. Friends, this is a disaster beyond all disasters in the state of California. And America itself has faced the very, very worst year in terms of hurricane damage as well as fire damage in the history of this country. Why? We're going to continue to address this. Of course, Americans don't fear God. Jerry Brown is right. Americans don't fear God. Not just Donald Trump. It's America. America doesn't fear God. That's a problem. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
Back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me as we talk about Jerry Brown's recent comments that Donald Trump doesn't fear God, he's not humble enough, and he may have a point there, but Jerry Brown himself is not humble enough himself. He doesn't fear God if he's not willing to allow for God to define law on God's terms instead of Jerry Brown defining law for himself. Well, America has faced the worst fires and the worst hurricanes in the history of this country, and I made a note of that a couple of years ago when we had the worst, most liberal legislature in the history of this state, and the worst fire damage, and the worst flood damage in the history of the state, and I wondered if there was a connection between the three. And, of course, Jerry Brown trying to make something of a connection, assuming that God exists, but not willing for God to be the source of law. Well, National Geographic has an important article that was just issued on the damage that has been done by Harvey and Irma that hit the U.S. coast earlier in September and October. Totals are still being calculated, but early tabulations indicate that the U.S. suffered more than $200 billion worth of damage from 17 named storms during the season, which began in June and ended Thursday, November 30th. That easily eclipses the previous record of about $159 billion set during the summer of 2005, when Hurricane Katrina inflicted massive devastation on New Orleans. A record 28 named storms formed that year. Now, of course, the article does not end with, "And now y'all need to fear God." God, obviously, because the fear of God is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in American classrooms. The public schools, the public universities do not teach that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the political science classrooms. And so, of course, at the end of the day, our politicians are not going to fear God, and they're not going to assume that these hurricanes come by the ordination, by the provident sovereignty of Almighty God. You know, it's interesting. It's very interesting. The worst, most damaging hurricanes in American history came in 2005 and 2017. Do you know what happened in 2003 and 2015? Speaking 2 years before the worst hurricanes in American history hit American shores.
I don't remember who won the Grammys.
No.
I don't remember who won the Oscars.
No.
And I don't remember what my social media said.
2003 was Lawrence v. Texas, a U.S. Supreme Court decision that came to the conclusion that homosexuality was a virtue instead of a vice. And then Obergefell was the decision that came down in 2015, which, again, assumed that whatever the Sodomites were doing that brought about God's destruction upon Sodom is a wonderful thing, and that sodomic marriages should be approved of by the Supreme Court of the United States. So it's interesting that the two Supreme Court decisions that tie in very closely to whatever Sodom and Gomorrah was doing when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by Almighty God. It's interesting that the two decisions related to homosexuality were followed up by two of the very worst hurricane seasons just 2 years after. In other words, Lawrence v. Texas occurred in 2003, and Hurricane Katrina occurred in 2005. In 2015, we had the Obergefell ruling, which initiated the neuronic agenda in America. And then 2 years later, that is this year, we are visited by Harvey and Irma. And these two hurricanes created more damage than Hurricane Katrina, about $200 billion in damage. Jude 1 verse 7 actually tells New Testament Christians, don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Friends, that's Jude verse 7. So again, as Christians, we are not to forget Sodom and Gomorrah. These are some of the last words of the epistle that Jude wrote. Don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Well, such were the hurricanes that constituted the very worst year in all of American history for the kind of damage that the hurricanes brought to American shores. But now we also are looking at the damage that has been done by these fires. Here's an AccuWeather report that has warned that 2017 California wildfire season could result in an economic cost of up to $180 billion.
Whoa.
As the so-called Thomas wildfire adds to the expected $10 billion-plus insured loss from the October California fires. Founder, president, and chairman of AccuWeather, Dr. Joel Myers, says even before this spat of December fires, 2017 has already been recorded as the costliest and most destructive wildfire year in California history. Claims from the October California wildfires have now surpassed $9.4 billion, and initial estimates surrounding the recent December fires in the region suggest an insurance industry loss of around $2 billion. AccuWeather instead estimates the total cost of the California wildfires at about $180 billion after these current fires all burn out in approximately 2 weeks. Now, the article did not end with y'all fear God now. We did not get that out of the AccuWeather report. But, friends, this has got to be the worst year for national disasters in American history. $200 billion from the costs incurred by the hurricanes, another $180 billion on top of that adds up to $380 billion for the kind of destructive force that God brought against the nation in 2017, 2 years after Obergefell, the decision that brought homosexual marriage to America by the authority of this U.S. Supreme Court. which, by the way, is not submitting itself to the rule of Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By the way,
God will not be mocked.
The $180 billion will constitute about 10% of the entire gross state product of the state of California for the year 2017. So it will be a serious problem for the entire economy for that state. And no wonder the governor of the state of California is concerned.
Yeah, no wonder he is fearful.
He is.
Yeah, but instead of acknowledging God, he turns and suggests that President Trump has no fear of God.
He's blaming President Trump, and he's blaming global warming. He's missing the whole thing because he's not willing to submit himself to God's word. He's not willing to define law that is right and wrong by God's word. He's given in to the ultimate sin, the satanic sin in the garden. He defines good and evil on his own terms. He defines right and wrong on his own terms, and he has turned himself into a god. The fundamental problem for the modern humanist, whether they be evangelicals, Catholics, or just your average ordinary humanist, they're just not willing at the most basic level to assume that God defines what is good and evil, what is right and wrong. And as far as the National Interagency Fire Center is concerned, they calculate the number of acres burned down in America between 1960 and 2017. And 2017 marks one of the, if not the highest number of acres burned down in American history. 9.4 million acres have burned in America since 2017. Of that, 1.3 million belongs to the state of California. Between 2000 and 2017, 6.6 million acres burned down on an average annual basis. Between 2000 and 2017, 6.6 million acres have burned down on average in America since 2000. Between 1960 and 2000, the number was 3.3 million. In other words, indeed, the number of acreage burning down in America has increased by 200% on average since the year 2000.
Now, does that have to do with anything to do with more populace in areas that were not heavily populated?
Well, I doubt if it has much to do with that. People are trying to point to this or that. I will say that it has something to do with what God wants to bring to this world. And it is God's judgment. You can point to this or you can point to that, but it's hard to know the reason. Now, what Jerry Brown is doing is he's saying, yeah, it's global warming. Global warming has doubled the amount of acreage burning in America since the year 2000. That's his conclusion. But friends, when it comes down to it, there are only three explanations for what's going on. Three explanations. Either God is the source of reality and God is the source of law, or man is the source of reality and man is the source of law. So here are the three explanations. Either one, man caused all these fires. And so if man caused it, the assumption is that man can fix it by technological, scientific, and political know-how and power. So, again, that's what the media believes.
Man's reason trumps everything else, and all we need is to educate people, and we can fix this.
That's right. So man believes that he's in control of global warming. Man believes that he's in control of the fires. Man believes that everything's human-caused, and that man is the one who is able to determine his own destiny on his own terms, and he can fix the problem scientifically, technologically, and of course, add to that totalitarian power where political leaders can force everybody to get rid of their incandescent light bulbs and put in the kind of light bulb that's supposed to minimize global warming and so forth. That's going to solve the problems of global warming. That's going to solve the problems for the fires that are burning down America. All right, so the first explanation is that man caused it. So if man caused it, man can fix it by technological, scientific, and political know-how. The second possible explanation is that God caused it, and he is judging man for breaking man's law. And that's Jerry Brown's theory. Jerry Brown, of course, is autonomous. He makes up his own law as he goes. So Jerry Brown's worldview, by the way, includes no hope. The Sacramento Bee reported him as saying, "I hate everything." He says, "Joy. See, I don't even conceptualize the world that way." So he has no joy. He has no love. He hates everything. That's his worldview. It just came out about a month ago on his visit. It was on his visit to the global warming conference in Europe. Okay. Yeah. Came back saying, I hate everything, and he has no joy in life. Because he has no redemption. You have no redemption, my friends. You have no joy. You have no redemption. You have no release from the guilt of your sin. But for turning to God and repenting of your sin and finding forgiveness and acceptance and cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the provision that he makes on the cross. And somehow he missed the message.
And that's why he told people of California, this is the new reality, referring to the fires and the devastation. This is the new reality. So even though he says that global warming is man-caused and therefore these fires are man-caused, he says we have no control over this. So there's a problem. Why should he be a leader?
Well, the three explanations for why these things are happening, the three explanations for why the devastations, why the destructive force that's coming against the nation. The first is that man causes it, so man can fix it. The second is that God caused it, and he's judging man for breaking man's law, which is foolishness. God's not judging this world for man breaking man's law. Give me a break. that's the most inconsistent worldview you could ever come up with. What's that?
I saw what you did there. Give me a break for breaking man's
law. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the third explanation is really the biblical explanation. That is that God causes it, and he's judging man for breaking God's laws, either by a general judgment or by specific judgment on this earth for the sin of man. So there are sometimes God's judgment that comes in a general way, that is the death and disease and the general curse that comes because of man's sin, is one of the reasons, is the primary reason for God's judgment on the earth. But there are also specific times in which God brings specific judgment to a nation or to a city state for a specific sin. We see that certainly in the case of the sin of homosexuality. If you do a study of the history of God's judgments in Old and New Testaments, you're going to find that God brings his judgment to nations that are shedding innocent blood and committing the crime of homosexuality. And friends, that is the primary reason why God judges nations, at least if you watch the pattern that develops in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament, God holds us to even tighter accounts, because at the time of the evil that man was doing in the Old Testament, he winked at those things, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. That's what we read in Acts chapter 17. So the third explanation is that God causes these things, and he's judging man for breaking God's laws. And God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence for all them that are about him. So the end result is, yes, we should be fearing God. Yes, we should be fearing God in the assembly of the saints. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. And people who fear God are fearful to offend him. They're not going to want to break his commandments. That's what we read in Ecclesiastes 12. The wisest man, the mere man that ever lived, he came to the conclusion at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep Jerry Brown's commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Is that what you get there?
Excuse me, you got the wrong translation.
Let me read that one more time. Yeah,
you got the wrong translation.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And now Deuteronomy 10:12. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now you say, well, what are the commandments that we ought to keep? Well, let me throw out a few of them. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation, which I am casting out before you, for they commit these things, and therefore I abhor them. These are the commandments that God left for, yeah, pagan nations as well as the covenant nation. God is concerned that we keep his commandments, that he not wipe these nations off the face of the earth. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, and you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation, which I am casting out before you, for they commit these things, and therefore I abhor them. Or here's another one from Exodus 20. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. These are just some of the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. These are some of the commandments that God has given. So, friends, you say, are we supposed to fear God? Are we supposed to keep His commandments? Yes, that's the whole conclusion to the whole matter on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. And sadly, America breaks every one of God's commandments with impunity. The message is clear, therefore, let us repent, or we will all likewise perish. That's the message that Jesus gives to any kind of destructive force, to any kind of national disaster that occurs, whether it's the fall of the Tower of Siloam or a gigantic forest fire that wipes out 1.3 million acres in the state of California and causes $200 billion of damage. Jesus has a message for you, Californians. Here it is. Repent, or you will all likewise perish. That's the message. So again, we press this message home. Jesus brings a message of repentance to us with urgency. It's time to repent. It's time to repent now, or you will perish. Repent of your sins and find forgiveness in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Take your sins to the cross. Confess them to Christ and acknowledge His salvation, that He came to save you from your sins. Believe it today. And you will be saved. Friends, that's the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find it in Acts 16:31. You'll find it in Matthew 1:21. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. Jesus came to save us from our sins, and He did so by dying on the cross for our sins and rising again on the third day. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Let me encourage you to our resources, especially our biblical worldview curriculum, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Be sure to give your children a biblical view of politics, a biblical view of history. That's why we put together a high school level biblical worldview curriculum for your Christian school or for your home school. Those resources available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced a Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.
It's Friday, December 15th, AD 2017, and this is The Worldview in 5 minutes. This is Kevin Swanson for Adam McManus reporting. Over 100 people in Indonesia have been convicted under the country's blasphemy laws between 2005 and 2014, reports UCA News. Now the first Christian pastor has been charged under these laws after a video went viral of him witnessing the Christian faith to a taxi driver. The Protestant pastor Ben Moses has been detained for over a week at a Jakarta police station, and Indonesia's second largest Islamic organization filed a police complaint last week against him. Pastor Moses could receive 5 years in prison. The gospel is growing in the 99% Muslim-majority country of Somalia, the second worst nation in the world for Christian persecution based on the Open Doors World Watch list. Martyrdom is common for converts to Christianity there. Greg Kelly of World Mission has shared the example of one man who came to Christ from Islam in Somalia and fearlessly preaches the gospel now. Kelly said this guy goes around ministering to Muslims, understanding what's at stake, and the recent report that we received is that 3 new house churches have formed and 15 new families have come to know Christ. The Apostle Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 4:11, "For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Northern Nigeria has experienced increased suicide bomb attacks from the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram in recent weeks. The group's 8-year insurgency has left at least 20,000 people dead and millions displaced. Governors of the country's 36 states met to approve the transfer of $1 billion in oil savings to their federal government to procure armaments in their fight against the Muslim extremists, according to an official announcement made yesterday. About 600 people joined in New Zealand's National March for Life last Saturday in the country's capital, Wellington, remembering the lives of over 500,000 babies murdered in the womb in that country. The march is the first at the capital since 1974 when the first abortion mill opened in Auckland and marks 40 years since New Zealand's Contraception, Sterilization and Abortion Act of 1977. March for Life spokesperson Michelle Kaufman said people leave the march energized, ready to continue serving women and families and be a voice for the unborn out of love. England's National Health Service has dropped a gender identity question from a primary school survey after pushback from parents, reports The Telegraph. The question asked if the 10 and 11-year-olds feel the same inside as the gender they were born with. Nearly one quarter of American teens are using marijuana, according to research by the University of Michigan. The study found of 8th to 12th graders, 24% say they've used the drug in the past year. This makes for a 1.3% rise in marijuana usage among teens, the first significant increase in 7 years. This comes as an increasing number of states have legalized the drug for recreational use, including Alaska, California, Colorado, Massachusetts, Maine, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington, plus Washington, D.C. Exit poll data from the special Senate election between Roy Moore and Doug Jones show Moore led among evangelicals, white women, anti-abortion voters, and Trump supporters. Jones led among African Americans, young voters, women, and supporters of the murder of the unborn. The data also showed about 51% of voters believed the allegations against Moore were probably or definitely true, while 44% thought the allegations were probably or definitely false. Moore released a video Wednesday saying that the final vote count, including military and provisional ballots, has not been certified. Moore also said the nation faces a moral and spiritual battle.
Many do not share the vision of those who built this country. Today we no longer recognize the universal truth that God is the author of our life and liberty. Abortion, sodomy, and materialism have taken the place of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have stopped prayer in schools. We've murdered over 60 million of our unborn children. We've redefined marriage and destroyed the basis of family.
Judge Moore also said the battle is ultimately not between political parties, but it is a spiritual battle, quoting Ephesians 6, 12 through 13.
In the words of the Holy Scriptures, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
And finally, the Lord called one of his own home yesterday afternoon, Dr. R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul died peacefully at 78 years of age, after 12 days of hospitalization due to severe respiratory difficulties. As a pastor, teacher, author, and founder of Ligonier Ministries, Dr. Sproul proclaimed in his life the great truths of God and the doctrine of God's immeasurable holiness, grace, and glory. Theologian Sinclair B. Ferguson said R.C. was never afraid of or shrank from the fray. He fought well, and his faith conquered. Now he beholds the Lord in his glory and is fully like him. We do not begrudge our friend the fulfillment of his heart's desire to behold the Holy One. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." As you know, the Worldview and Generations Ministries are committed to bringing a biblical worldview back to the news, to family life, and to the education of our children. We're grateful for your trust in the work that we do. As the Lord has blessed you this year, please consider blessing this ministry with a much-needed year-end donation right now as we continue to declare Jesus as Lord over all. Go to www.theworldview.com/give. That's theworldview.com-give to provide for this ministry. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, December 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes to our unique Christian newscast at www.theworldview.com. I'm Kevin Swanson. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ today.
What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.